and waiting very patiently for me to get through all that underwriting is what made Milwaukee famous. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hi.
It's going pretty good.
Good to see you.
Likewise.
I'm kind of weary, actually.
You're weary about, or you're weary of all the underwriting?
No. That was great. I think you did that really well.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, we've been getting up really early the last like two or three days.
And staying up really late.
Exactly. Yeah.
Kicking out the jams. Did you come up from North Carolina? I didn't even have a chance to ask you.
We did.
That seems to be the circuit. A lot of people walk in these doors coming up from Charlotte or Greensboro or Carrboro.
From Georgia to Maryland to North Carolina to Virginia.
Well, that seems to have been, I mean, I took a glance at your schedule, and I remember your record was one of the first ones that I really noticed of 2008, so it must, I think, came out in February, right?
March, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Early March.
We had it in February.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah. So, yeah, I remember, you know, that is a winter record, and then I was looking at your schedule, and it looks like you really hit the ground running. I mean, you had dates in late February, March, April. I saw you in May at a convention in Philadelphia, which was great.
Kathleen Edwards.
Yeah, nice to see you again. Yeah, Kathleen Edwards was there. You guys did a great duet, and it was nice to get to see you guys there. And I imagine you've still been touring the whole time, because summer doesn't really let up for musicians, really.
We've had a few weeks off here and there, but for the most part, we've been consistently going. Logging up miles on the van and changing out tires and all that good stuff.
We're about to hit 100,000 this tour, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not all touring miles, are they? Did you get a new van?
We had 20 on it, so it's...
Oh, wow.
We put 80,000 in probably about 2 years, three years max.
Has your touring life kind of changed at all, being on a, you know, Barsook is obviously not a major label. It's sort of a major label in my life, but a big indie, I would call it, or a significant indie. Has recording or touring changed for you now that your second album is on Barsook? No.
I don't know.
Is it more?
I don't remember.
You don't remember life before that?
I don't remember life last week.
Oh, wow.
Well,
how about you, Jason?
I'd like to think that it has. I mean, I wasn't around. I'm the new guy.
That's right. You're the newest member. Jason is the
I'd like to
member.
Think that things are, you know, a little easier. I know we definitely have, you know, better shows, and we get to do things like the non-com convention in Philly and Lollapalooza and Bonnaroo and ACL Festival coming up. And I'd like to think that, you know, our being on the label like Barsook helps that. But I don't really know. I just show up and rock out. That's what they tell me to do, and that's what I do.
I mean, I guess their job is kind of to be like a shepherd in some of the process. Hopefully that works out for you.
Yeah, well, they get the product out there. So, I mean, we definitely need that. I mean, we've self-released our first album, and we probably just gave about 3,000 records away.
Yeah.
Just sent them to, like, press and to, you know, to labels and managers and all that stuff. So it's nice to have somebody, and you know, we would deposit like maybe four or five records in each record store that we went to in these little towns, and I don't think we ever collected on a single one on consignment.
Yeah.
So we need to go back into our files and get some money, because we're a bit strapped right now.
Well, there's also, you know, there's something about the association of labels, too. I mean, rightly or wrongly, you get associated with your label mates, like Death Cab for Cutie got their start on Barsook, and of course, Mesa State, who actually we just played. So, at least on my end, maybe I'm a bit biased, but I see a record come in from Barsook or Merge or Sub Pop, you know, I take notice. So, there is that, too, I suppose.
Yeah, we love all the artists that we share a label with. I mean, the Long Winters, John Vanderslice.
Mm-hmm.
David Bazan. I mean, We're really lucky to be on that label. So.
We're in good company.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and we're in good company. So we would love to hear a song from your latest album, What Doesn't Kill Us.
Well, we'd love to play you a song from
Excellent.
Our latest album, What Doesn't Kill Us.
So this is What Made Milwaukee Famous on WNRN.
This is our single called Sultan.
I've had less than my fair share of lucky breaks and enough of this fooling around. I've got one last chance to get rid of and buried deep in the ground. And no matter what you try, man, you're never gonna tear me down. When the only blame you cast is your own, and your only guarantee is your fear of the unknown. If you don't cut your losses before you get lost, they're never gonna leave you alone. My best bits of advice I repeat only twice. After that, you can fend for yourself. your mind, are you in, are you out? I have no patience for your impetuous doubt. The only blame you cast is your own, and your only guarantee is your fear of the unknown. If you don't cut your losses before you get lost, they're never gonna leave you alone. No. I've had less than my fair share of lucky breaks and enough of this fooling around. I've got one last chance to get rid of my past and bury it deep in the ground. Make up your mind, are you in, are you out? You'd be better served as a face in the crowd. You never want the truth to be told, and all your major concerns are out of your control. If you don't pick your feet up to come back around, you get stuck in my way, you get rolled. The only blame you cast is your own, and your only guarantee is your fear of the unknown. If you don't cut your losses before you get lost, they're never gonna leave you alone.
WNRN, What Made Milwaukee Famous? That was Sultan, the first single from their album, What Doesn't Kill Us, which has an excellent video, by the way, and it looks like it was a lot of fun to make. I don't know if it's much fun to make as it is to watch, but...
I love making videos.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was only 2 days long. It was...
That's pretty good, yeah, for a video shoot.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy that we fit all that stuff into 2 days, but I guess the whole second day was the fencing squad doing their thing.
So no, that was a fencing squad. That was not y'all.
Well,
in,
it
was
took a few lessons, but
we definitely fought each other a little bit. But I don't think it was worthy of
with tips
filming
on the blades. And
yeah, we looked a little more like sissies than we did fencing people.
Yeah, there's a bloopers video on the
on YouTube. The interweb.
On the interweb.
On our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/WMMFamous. So you could see some of our
outtakes.
Yeah.
It's a cool, I mean, for people who haven't seen it, and they should look it up, because it's a really cute one. It's sort of all against a white backdrop. You guys are fencing, or someone's fencing. It looks like you guys are fencing. The magic of the moving arts, you know. Yeah. And then there's a surprise guest appearance at the end of the video, which I'm inclined not to spoil, actually, but I was kind of curious. Is this a friend of yours, or a fan, or... I guess y'all are from Texas, and he's from Texas, I think.
Yeah.
So.
He is a fan, and he's a friend of a friend, and
it's a nice surprise. I guess you can have a surprise with fencing masks. That's the nice thing. The great unmasking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like Kiss.
Exactly.
Kind of.
Now, maybe it's my imagination, but it seemed to me we had played your first record as well, and I was a bit surprised. I really liked this record. I was surprised at first at the sound of it, because it seemed like a more guitar-driven rock than... I mean, I may have described you more as synth pop or something like that in the first record. Was that just because you're kind of in a different space now, or was it the addition of, you know, new personnel, or kind of just...
It's a little bit of everything, you know. I mean, basically for the group of songs that we put on the record, we had to treat those songs and use the instrumentation and arrangement that they, you know, kind of asked for and sounded best. And so there's still a little synth on there and stuff like that, but it's, for the most part, it's a little more organic sound, because these songs are really straightforward, and there's a little bit of, you know, stuff to be read into it. I mean, there always is, but we wanted it to be as accessible as possible for everybody, so that's just kind of how the cookie crumbled.
It just kind of came out that way. I don't think we put any limits or expectations, mm-hmm, other than to go in and make the best, you know, sounding album we could, mm-hmm, and whatever that turned out to be is, and I think we're proud of it. No one really wanted to remake the first record anyways. I mean, I'm a fan of always exploring newer territories as a band. Mm-hmm. I hate when bands like try to follow up, you know, a record with something that sounds just like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does seem like a very organic kind of development. And as you said, accessible, which to me is a compliment. And people feel rightly or wrongly different ways about the word accessible and whether music is accessible, but I guess maybe being in radio, that's my bias. I like accessible, and yeah. I think there are a lot of people or a lot of acts out there people haven't heard of, and they're not top 40, but they're still perfectly accessible. In a perfect world, they would be, you know, on the top
bring
charts.
On the perfect world.
But you know, to me, the great compliment is straight up indie rock, which is what I would describe that sound as on your second record. Mm-hmm. Which I'm a big fan of myself. Yeah. Can we hear another one?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's see how
yeah, this ought to sound really good first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning at 2:51.
Is that what time it is?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. All right, well, this one's called The Right Place.
Stoned every day. Ask me the one thing I'm negating. So wild if I could jerk and you'll be safe. Oh, I want a good night and every single syllable, but I didn't mean to have one every day.
By the way,
even though your heart's in the right place. Let it break. There is only so much I can take until I start to feel like I'm betrayed. Oh, I want to say good luck and really hope it worked out and felt certain that this time you'll get it right. But I've since been dismayed by your careless mistakes, and I'm sick and tired of hope. You might, yeah. Plead with me and beg me not to stay. You knew it never work out anyway.
No, no, no. You got an eye for suicide and a knack for college tries, but you soon lack the thing that gets you by.
WNRN, that was What Made Milwaukee Famous with The Right Place from their album What Doesn't Kill Us. And thanks for coming in, guys. I know
thanks
it's a tough schedule.
Us.
I see so many very weary looking people come in these doors, but actually I think you've woken up in the process of playing, and it was very rousing renditions, and we're very much looking forward to the show tonight. That is at the Gravity Lounge here in Charlottesville. They're also playing with Wild Sweet Orange, which we're also going to be talking to in a little bit. And we appreciate you coming in.
Yeah,
so have a good show tonight and happy travels.